How many knew that hymn?
Before.
All right. What other song did Anna Waring write? Famous song. Everybody in this room knows it. Jesus loves me, this I know. Yeah. She's a precious sister. Let's have another word of prayer. Lord, we're very thankful that we can gather together. We come this morning, we're thankful that from the very beginning, throughout this time, as we come to your word, we have a simple desire to behold the Lamb of God. There's really nothing else. Many things try to attract our attention. Many things try to draw us away. Even things about you. But Lord, there's one thing that's necessary. And that we would be those that are looking off unto Jesus, keeping our eyes upon you, and beholding the Lamb of God day by day. We worship you for the provision of life that we have in you, Lord. And as we continue, Lord, we look unto you as we break this bread of life, that we could feast upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for us to turn this morning to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, the psalm, one of the psalms that Moses wrote. Psalm 90, we're going to read just verses 12 to 14. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for thy servants. O satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Teach us to number our days. I was considering this psalm in light of this is a new year, 2018. We got to get used to writing that instead of 17. For whatever times we ever write that, we don't write it very often anymore. And also with the Lord's soon return. As I was looking upon this psalm, it's really, it touched me that Moses was the one that wrote this, of how he was saying, teach me to number our days. And what touched me so much was Moses, most people don't think, he didn't write this as a young man. It wasn't when he was in Egypt. He didn't write it during his wanderings, the Lord had set him aside those 40 years caring for the sheep. But most think that he wrote this when he was an old man, after the Lord had used him to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. He was in the wilderness. He had much experience with the Lord. This is a voice of one who saw that he still needed to be taught. He saw that the more he saw of the Lord, he said, Lord, there's so much more I want to learn of you. Teach me, Lord, to number my days. And what that's saying is, Lord, teach me and help me to be given to you in such a way that each day counts for you. You know, we really don't need to be taught how to number. We can learn that in elementary school. You know, 1, 2, 3 and all that. It might take a little more to get up to 120, as old as he was. But this isn't a natural teaching. Because Moses, he was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. He had all the wisdom of this world. But he's coming to the Lord because he saw something that was beyond just natural wisdom. There was something of the Lord. There was a character in the Lord that he wanted to really learn of. And I, in regard to starting a new year and with our Lord soon return, I see this is more and more important for us in these days. That simple place of coming back to him and saying, Lord, I want each day to count for you. As we look upon others in the Scripture, they had similar prayers. David, it's testified of David when Samuel found him that he was a man after God's own heart. But later on in David's life, as you read through the Psalms, what's David praying? Lord, teach me thy way. Teach me of you. Dave, the more he went on in the Lord, the more he saw he needed to be taught. Because he saw more and more of the vastness of the Lord. One of the tragedies that we can fall into is we can become satisfied. We can think, oh, I've heard of the Lord. I know who the Lord is. I know about this. But really, in reality, the more we touch of His life, we simply see how little we do know and that there's so much more. That's why I appreciate Paul's testimony there in Corinthians, and all that Paul had seen. And his boast was that we only see in part. Brothers and sisters, as we go through this life and we're thankful for all that we've seen of the Lord and the many experiences, but would the Lord really touch us in a way that we know we only see in part? Because thankful the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit within us. And we've got that promise in the Gospel of John that the Holy Spirit is going to teach us all things. It doesn't say, I'm going to teach you some things. I'm going to teach you most of the things. He says, I'm going to teach you all the things. All that you want to know of Christ, I'm going to teach you. And as the Lord, as we come into awareness of just our need to be taught, would that be just an avenue where the Lord could come in and be working within us in a very fresh and new way? Because when we come to the Lord, we come to receive from one another with an attitude of a student, to learn from Him. That opens the door of our hearts. And it's giving the Holy Spirit a great freedom and liberty to form Christ within us. As our Lord works, we've heard our brother share about how the Lord has us in the gymnasium of Christ. Brother Sparks speaks of the school of Christ. And as He's training us and teaching us, He has a cycle which He uses. Whenever you teachers have a system, trainers have a system, and our Lord's cycle for training us is one day at a time. He has a daily cycle. Every day He wants to teach us. Every day He wants to train us. Every day He wants to work within us more and more of the very life of His Son. And Moses realized this. Moses saw the importance of each day. And that's why he said, Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me that I could know You in a way that each day would really count for You. One of the great gifts that God has given to us is that He's given us the gift of time. Now, why has He given us this gift of time? He's given us this opportunity that we have. He's given us this other year. He's given us until He returns. And why has He given us this gift of time? He's given us the gift of time for one simple reason, that Christ can be formed in us. For those that don't know Him, that they could come to that saving grace of knowing Him. And for those that know Him, the gift of time is with one purpose, that Christ can be formed in us. And let's not waste the time we have. There are many things out there that compete for our attention, compete for our time. But would we be like Moses and see that each day, every day would really count for him? It's so different than the way we as men think. Most of you know I like sports. So, favorite sport is baseball. You know, to get in the Baseball Hall of Fame? All you have to do is fail 2 out of 3 times. If a hitter fails 2 out of 3 times, he makes the Hall of Fame. You know, what kind of Christian life would that be it shows you the contrast between man's thinking and God's ways. He wants every day to count. If a batter hits 333, they're automatically a Hall of Famer. There's no question. First ballot. You know, it's amazing how we think. In football, the Hall of Fame. A quarterback only needs to complete about 2/3 of his passes, and he'll be in the Hall of Fame. You know, there's not actually in the Football Hall of Fame, there's not one quarterback in there that's completed 2/3 of his passes. Two of the greatest from my 49ers of Joe Montana and Steve Young, they're about 63-64%. But nobody's reached 2/3 yet. So we see how man, we set our standards so low at times. And really, even in our Christian life, do we set our standards low? Are we content to live most of our days for the Lord? Or are we really seeing Him in a way that we really want every day to count for Him? This is what He's jealous for. You know, Moses saw that. And may we really see this, because Moses saw that every day as he was allowing that to work, he was going to gain that heart of wisdom. As it says there in verse 12, Moses had this desire that he could present to the Lord a heart of wisdom. That's a heart full of Christ, because Christ has been made unto us wisdom. It's not Moses' natural wisdom, but it's Christ the Lord formed in Moses. And in that, he would have this attitude. And the more Moses yearned for the Lord, Moses, even at that time, he was saying, Lord, how long before you return? The more he saw the Lord, he had this how long. And would that be our prayer and our cry as we are going in these days? I appreciate in verse 14 too, how Moses says, satisfy us in the morning with thy loving kindness. Each morning, may we allow the Lord to meet us with his loving kindness. Would we see his mercies are new every morning? We would satisfy us in the morning with his loving kindness. And because of that, we can sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Again, not just some of our days, not a few of them, most of them, but all of our days. The Lord is jealous for every day of our life to really count for him. I appreciate how Moses, because he had a heart for the people of Israel, who even continues on in verse 16 here, you see his heart for the next generation. And he said, Lord, let thy work appear to your servants. He said, let his servants, those of, that are serving him now, would really have that life and would they'd be living that. And why? And that majesty to their children. Moses knew that his servants, those older ones that were going on, as Christ was formed in them, as the Lord's life was really seen in and through them, the children, that next generation, would see the majesty of the Lord. And they would have a hunger and a thirst after that too. It's a great call upon all of us to display his life. Because as we heard this past weekend, we're all witnesses. And what kind of witnesses are we? Are we witnesses of his majesty that is really a drawing, not only the unsaved, but even encouraging believers to follow the Lord in a fuller and greater way? The Lord, as he not only trains us every day, but I appreciate how significant a day is to the Lord. Not only is he training us, but really his unit of measure, his foundational unit of measure is a day. And remember back in Genesis 1, how the Lord created the heavens and the earth. He created all things. He did so much one day, he called it a day. He had a work to do the next day, he did it that day. Through those 6 days, he did a work. Every day, there was a purpose for that day, and he did it. And at the end of that, he rested. And in that resting, we see how our Lord was... Let me ask this question. Why did the Lord take 6 days to create the earth? I think it was to teach us. Just as Moses said, teach us to number our days. The Lord wanted to teach us, this is my cycle for working. This is my unit of measure. We measure temperature by Celsius or Fahrenheit, mile, distance by miles, kilometers. We measure computers by, you know, all this. You measure the storage by bytes or their speed by hertz and all this stuff. Everything is a unit of measure. And the Lord's basic unit of measure is a day. And he was trying to teach us that. This is the way I work each day. Because if you really stop and think about it, the Lord, in his almighty power, it would have been very simple for him to create everything in one day. It wasn't because the Lord was limited that he had to wait, I can't do this in one day. It's going to take me 6 whole days. Now, it wasn't his limitation. It was for our instruction to show his cycle, daily cycle of working, the significance of each day. Every day was important. He had something he wanted to do, and he completed it. And then he rested. And he said, he sends these messages to us. Even if you look in Genesis 5, when it talks about that lineage of who people are, how old they lived, and it says, if you just turn for a minute to Genesis 5, you can see this. As it goes down that line of who everybody is, how does the Lord measure life? And it starts off with Adam, and it says, in Genesis 5:5, so all the days that Adam lived, it doesn't start off with year, all the days that Adam lived. In verse 8, all the days of Seth. 11, all the days of Enosh. 14, all the days of Kenan. On and on and on. What the Lord was interested in was every day. These are the days of our life. How is, at the end of David's life, how does the Lord summarize that? David died full of days. Wasn't full of years. He said David died full of days. And that's how Job died too. Full of days. What a wonderful testimony that would be on your tombstone. As you talk about epitaphs and things like that. This one died full of days. We want each one to count for the Lord. And the Lord sends these messages to us trying to teach us the significance of each day. Sometimes we're content just to live, okay, I can have a pretty good week. I'll do so many days for the Lord and so many for myself. No, every day is for Him. Even as we think about His provision, when He was providing for those in the wilderness, He provided that manna every day that they could learn that He was their daily provision. Again, the Lord in His almighty power, He could have created manna that lasted for a week. It wasn't because of He was limited, oh, I can only create manna that lasts one day. No, He created manna that lasts one day so that we would learn of Him as our daily provision. That's why in what we call the Lord's Prayer, He says, Lord, give us our daily bread. Now, we would learn every day that He is that provision of life for us. And even as you look at the spiritual life that we have as pictured in the Old Testament through the nation of Israel, what was at the very center of the life of the nation of Israel? It was that tabernacle. They were all camped around it. It was that temple in Jerusalem. And what was in that very center of the tabernacle there? What was going on every day? Every morning, there was that continual burnt offering. It was that burnt offering in the morning and a burnt offering in the evening. Every day started with a continual burnt offering, reminding us of the fresh provision we have in Christ every day, of the complete work that He's done. Every day started with that simple lamb being offered up. It didn't matter if it was a feast day. It could have been Passover, but it still started with that burnt offering, that lamb being offered. They had feasts at the first day of the month, and they had all of their feasts throughout the year. But every day started with that lamb being offered up. The mercies being new every morning. And praise God, I'm so thankful there was two burnt offerings every day. At the evening, there was that burnt offering to conclude the day. Because sometimes when we go through a day, it doesn't go so well. I probably shouldn't say sometimes. Most days don't go, or every day doesn't go like we had thought. And maybe in our eyes, it didn't count much for the Lord. But praise God, at the end of the day, when we come back, we have that lamb, fresh lamb of God, that we can come and see the provision we have. And we can confess our sins. And He's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and unrighteousness, which makes that day count for Him. The evening offering, to me, gives us a great hope. A hope of what He's done, a hope for tomorrow, of seeing those new mercies. The provision in the morning and that evening offering, praise God. The enemy knows how significant, too, every day is. Because if you look at the life of Joseph and you think of Potiphar's wife, how did she test him? How did she tempt him? It says day by day by day. She was trying to wear him out. The same thing with Samson and Delilah. It says she attacked him day by day. The enemy knows, if I can just get him out of this day by day, that wearing out tactic. Praise God, Joseph was strong enough to flee from temptation. Brothers and sisters, if the enemy knows how significant it is, would we come into a place of knowing how significant it is? And that our prayer, too, would be to teach us to number our days. Our Lord, as He was sharing upon this earth, was reinforcing this, too. as he looked upon those that wanted to be his disciples. In Luke chapter 9, he says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, daily take up his cross and follow me." There was this daily process that we went through. That's why I like that verse the way it's shared in Luke, because it adds the word daily. Matthew doesn't have it. But Luke uses that word daily of taking up our cross, daily learning of him, daily of saying no to ourselves, daily of saying yes to him. Because as we were reminded this summer at the conference when Dana was sharing, today is that day of salvation. We only have today. This is the day we have, and we need to make the most of it. This is that day where we can do those transactions with the Lord. And this is what we do. And this is, you know, this was Paul's testimony when he said, "I die daily. I die daily to myself that Christ could increase. Christ can be formed in me." What a testimony we have. We see the simplicity of life of these dear ones that went on in the Lord. Sometimes we can think of this Christian life as so complicated and there's so many things. There's a simpleness to it that he's trying to convey through this call to live that daily life with him. Praise God on that day of Pentecost and when that church was born. What does it say? It says day by day they were together. It was a natural flow of life together. And out of that flow of life, it said day by day more were added to them. That was the gospel going forth. Out of the strong church there, the healthy church, naturally more life went forth and others were drawn in. Praise God. As when we talk about this matter of a daily life, is this too simple for us? Are we looking for some higher type of teaching or something? But is it really simple? Is it, you know, oftentimes we ask the question, we hear, "Are you ready? Be prepared." And people ask, "Well, how can I be prepared for the Lord's return? What do I have to do?" Simply living each day for Him. It's all He's ever looked for. He's looking us to live each day for Him, allowing Him to be Lord of our lives, giving ourselves to Him each morning and allowing Him to be formed within us. We can think, when we think of getting ready to be for the Lord to be ready, we can think, "Okay, I've got to do something extra. I've got to do something special. I have to come have some unique or special knowledge, or I'll never be ready for His return. I've got to have a great understanding of prophetic events. I've got to do something spectacular to get ready." No. How do we ready ourselves? We live a normal daily life under His headship. And as we daily go through those transactions, as we daily deny ourselves, as we daily see Him as our provision, that's the preparation. Because what's being prepared? What's being prepared is His life in us. All He's looking for is simply a greater expression of His life in us. And that's where we decrease daily and allow Him to encourage us on and on. You know, as one of the things I was thinking of as we think about this matter of preparing for the Lord's return and the simplicity of it, I was drawn back to the parables that the Lord shared at the Sermon on the Mount, the Mount of Olives there at the end, Matthew 24 and 25. And I'm not so going to, I don't want to get into the interpretation of those. But what, as the Lord looked at these different ones, what was He looking for? Turn over. So let's turn to Matthew 24. As we turn over there, we know at the beginning of the chapter, the disciples had asked Him, "Lord, when is all this going to take place? What are the signs?" And what they were inquiring. And really the first part of chapter 24 is the Lord deals with signs, of some of the signs that are going to occur. And then if you look at chapter 24, verse 44, the Lord says there, He says, "For this reason," that's why He's been sharing this, and He's trying to wake everyone up. He says, "You be ready also, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will." That call to be ready. And then to show the disciples what being ready means, he shares some more parables with them. And like I said, we're not going to get into the interpretation of these parables, but we're going to see what's the Lord looking for. And as you look at the rest of that chapter, from 45 to the end, we have the parable of where the Lord puts his servant in charge of his house and then goes away. He returns and one is commended and one is not. But why is the one commended? Why is the one servant commended? He says in verse 46, "Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes." What's that slave doing? He's simply caring for the things of the master. He doesn't have any great special knowledge or extra special interpretation of prophecy, but he knows the value of the master's house. He knows the value of the master's things, and he's simply caring for them. He cares for those within the house. He looks and he sees his brothers and sisters. He's caring for them. And he's ready each day for that Lord's return. He doesn't know when, but he's not living for himself. He's living for his master. All the Lord sees is a faithful one. The Lord doesn't commend him for his great knowledge of prophecy and all that. Now, the person might have had that, but the issue is that life within that servant. And the other said, "My master delays and live for himself." You know, that he was simply living for himself, not taking that time to really get to know his master and care for his master. Let me ask a hypothetical question. I don't believe this is true, but just for the sake of making an illustration, I want to ask a question. Well, we know the Lord can return at any time. But what if the Lord said to us, and I'm talking about a true voice from the Lord. What if the Lord said to us, "I'm not going to return in 2018. I'm going to wait and return in 2019. How would we live this year? How would you live this year? Would we say, "Oh, I got another year. I've always wanted to do this. Oh, I can go there. I can do that." Do we start immediately thinking of ourselves? Or do we say, "Oh, another year to learn of the Lord. Another year to be constrained by His love. Another year to be faithful, to draw others into Himself." We have to be honest with ourselves. And I think it's a good time. It's one of the benefits of changing years. It can cause us to reflect, not so much in a resolution point of view, but just to do an honest evaluation. And I think we need to be honest with ourselves before the Lord, quietly with Him. And if we knew the Lord wasn't coming back for another year, are there things within our heart that would be delighted? Are there things that would say, "Oh, wow, now, you know, maybe the Yankees could win the series this year"? Yeah, but are there things that we see would be a distraction? And then, praise God, as we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit and He points these things out, what a wonderful opportunity we have of releasing those to the Lord. That all, as it says in the psalmist, that all of our springs of joy would be found in Him. This is the opportunity we have. When we talked about the Lord's gift of time, there's that time we have every moment we're alive of surrendering fuller in a greater way to Him and not being so occupied with ourselves. I always love the story of a John Wesley. John traveled more with, he put more miles on a horse than most of us put on a car. And he would travel every day to two or three places. And one morning he was in his family's home having his porridge with his brother and sister. And the sister asked him, "Brother Wesley, if you knew you were going to die tonight at midnight, how would you change your day?" And he said, "I wouldn't change a thing. I would go on and do what I had intended to do of what the Lord showed me. I would finish this wonderful breakfast. I would go preach this morning. I would ride on to the next town. We would have lunch together. I'd lay down for a nap after lunch. I'd share a message in the afternoon. I'd go to Brother So-and-so's house for dinner. We would have some fellowship. At 10 o'clock, must have been his bedtime. He always said 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, I'd fall fast asleep and wake up in glory. You know, ask ourselves, if we knew the Lord was coming tonight, would our lives change? Again, that gift of time to get things straightened out. You know, we take advantage of that. The thing that amazed me the most about that story is that John Wesley could actually fall asleep. It's 10 o'clock. He knew he was going to meet the Lord at 12. He went on to sleep. That's what he normally did. You know, that's a resting in the Lord. What a life he had. How precious is that? And would that we come to that place of day by day, every day, counting for him and knowing what he had for us that day, and by his grace being faithful to that. As we go on into Matthew 25, the first parable there is the one of the 10 virgins. If you look at verses 1 through 12, 5 were ready and 5 were not. And we know that all of these, they were Christians because they had that oil. That was his life within them. And 5 are described as ready. 5 were ready for they were going out. They were anticipating the bridegroom's coming. And 5 went out and they were ready. And what is it? How does it speak of them? It says they were the wise ones. Remember how Moses prayed in Psalm 90, have that heart of wisdom? They simply knew him, knew his heart. And as they daily learned of him, they allowed Christ to be formed in them. Christ has been made unto us wisdom. And these 5 didn't have a special wisdom of their own, but they allowed him to become their wisdom. It wasn't their wisdom. They didn't have any special thing extra than the others had, except maybe a little extra oil. But they lived a life dependent upon him. They simply responded to him. They, when they went out, they were by them taking that oil, that life, that Holy Spirit with them, it was a taking with them in an act of dependence upon the Lord. They were not going out in themselves. The other ones went out. They didn't take any oil because they were self-sufficient. They thought they could handle things in themselves. And then when they saw they needed something extra, they tried to go back and it was too late. Brothers, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the life of the Lord every time. What is the one who is wise is one who is simply dependent upon him. And that's what these dear ones showed us. It wasn't anything extra that they had, extra special. But they simply, what he had given to them, they were faithful with. And they pressed on. As you look down in the following parable too, the parable of the talents. He gave talents to, the Lord gives talents to each of his servants. 5 to some, 2 to some, 1. Everybody had a talent. And the Lord gave to his servants here a talent based upon what they could handle. It wasn't like the Lord gave more than one could be expected to take care of. No, the Lord knew each one very intimately. He gave each one a talent. And then he went away. And he said, do business, be faithful. And what, you know, praise God, the ones with the 5 talent and 2 talents, they were simply faithful with what God had put in their hands. That's what the Lord was looking for, faithfulness. He had put this in their hands, and they knew him, and they were very faithful. And he said, because you're faithful in a few things, oftentimes we think the 5 and the 2 is a great number. We think that's the big things. Lord, that was just a few things. But they were faithful in the small things. And that really, at most times, that's the difficult things. A lot of us can be faithful if we know something is big. It's those small, what might appear not to be significant things that the Lord is looking for, that faithfulness. And these ones were faithful with that. And we see how in that, you know, there was those also that were unfaithful. It says they were lazy. Now, why were they lazy? They were lazy because they didn't really take the time to get to know their master. You see from the parable here, they did not know the master. They said, oh, you're hard, this and that. They had a wrong concept of him. And why did they have a wrong concept? Because they simply were too lazy to learn of the Lord and to learn of His true character and His true nature. We have this time. We have this day. We have this opportunity where we can use it to really know Him, know His heart, know what His desire is, and to be like these ones, the faithful servant, the wise virgins, the ones with the five and the two. They were simply faithful. They knew the Master's heart. They knew His desire. And they went along with Him. Because the Lord, in the simplicity of His life, all He calls us to is to follow Him. He says, follow Me, and I will make you. And you can fill in the blank there. Follow Me. That simple call again of following Me, and I will make you faithful. I will make you wise. I will make you My disciple. I will conform you to My image. You know, I will make you a fisher of men. I will. You know, that's the great contrast between the covenant in the Old Testament and the covenant in the New Testament. As we study Hebrews and we get to that covenant in the New Testament, that new covenant, the key words are, I will. I will do this. I will do that. I'll put My word in your heart. I'll put My life within you. I'll write this in you. I will. And as we daily are given to Him and allowing Him to do that, then that's being prepared for His return. I've been, during our daily reading, we just finished the Old Testament. We're back in Genesis now. But as we're reading through the Old Testament, I was really encouraged by the book of Daniel this time. So turn over to Daniel chapter 12. And Daniel, it really encouraged my heart. You know, during Daniel's days, there were many things going on. And the days we're living in, there are many things going on that we don't really understand. There's many prophecies in the Scripture that we don't really understand. Some people have more understanding than others. And, you know, I was encouraged by Daniel in this. Because the Lord showed Daniel all that was going to be happening, all the future history, all the way to the end of time. And Daniel was faithful to record that and pass it on to us. But did Daniel understand everything that he was shown to him and everything that was written? If you look at chapter 12, starting in verse 8, he says, as for me, Daniel speaks, I heard, but I didn't understand. So I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? And look how the Lord responds to him. This is so precious to us. He doesn't say, go back and get more understanding, or, oh, I can't believe you don't understand. What does the Lord say? He said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are sealed. And then he even concludes the book again by this wonderful word of encouragement. But as for you, go your way to the end, and you will enter into the rest and rise again for the allotted portion at the end of the age. I'm thankful for the humanity here of Daniel. We see he didn't understand everything that God had shown him. And what did God? And so at times we don't understand something. We say, okay, I got to stop here. I got to stop here until I gain this understanding. I mean, people talk about this prophecy or that prophecy. Our brothers share about the Lord's returning. I don't really understand that, so I can't go on. Well, I need to stop until I get this understanding. No. What did the Lord? Daniel said, I don't understand this. But what did the Lord say? You just continue on the way you've been. Continue following me. Continue being faithful. Continue on the way. And as we walk in the light, and as we have fellowship with ones, we see more and more of Him. At that right time, He will give that revelation. So even as we hear things in these days that we don't understand, and if you really stop and think about it, do we really understand our salvation? Jerry shared about the blood of the Lamb. I mean, there's a fullness. I mean, there's the vastness of that. Do we understand even about forgiveness Do we understand about sanctification, justification, the Lord's return? Oh no, there are many things that we know in part. But thank God, in this Christian life, we don't have to stop until we fully understand something before we can continue on. But as we walk in the light, as we just continue on with Him, He shows more and more. And that's what He's telling Daniel here. You just go on your way to the end. Be faithful to the end. That was unto death for Daniel. And that's all He says to us. And so as we hear these things, and for whether we're young or whether we're old, when we hear things we don't understand, we commit them back to the Lord. And knowing that in His time, He will bring that understanding to us. And even things that we think we understand, when we continue to ask Him, Lord, teach us more. I know there's more of You. I know there's more of that. As we start this year, as we're asking the Lord to teach us to number our days, this is the attitude of our heart. It's learning of Him. And learning and allowing Him to be Lord of our life every day. And having a teachableness before Him. Because there are many things that can hinder us. Maybe, as I said, maybe it's understanding. It can even be another brother or sister can hinder us from really pressing on and following the Lord fully. I love the story at the end of the Gospel of John between when the Lord is talking, Peter, you're going to go this way, and John, this is going to happen to you. And Peter's basically told that you're going to go where you don't want to go, and you're going to end up dead. You're going to die. And John, he's going to continue living. And Peter, he looks around after the Lord's told him what's going to happen to him. And he asks about it. He said, well, what about him? I mean, how come I got to go this way? How about him? And what did the Lord say simply to Peter? He said, what is that to you? You follow me. At times, as we're with the brothers and sisters, as we're going on together, maybe one brother is going this way, another one's doing this thing, another one's doing that, and the Lord's told you, you can't do that, you're not supposed to do that, and you're wrestling back and forth. I know in my own life, many times I've heard the Holy Spirit say within my heart, what is that to you? You follow me. Someone gets away with something that you couldn't get away with. They're able to serve in a certain area that you really wanted to serve in. And many things. Others are appreciated. You're not appreciated. What is that to you? You follow me. That's the call that the Lord has upon each of our life in this day. That's why, brothers and sisters, as we are really starting this new year, I really think it's a wonderful opportunity. It is a gift of the Lord for each of us in our quiet times to really stop and pause, to really stop and consider this prayer of Moses. Lord, teach me to number my days. Having that humble spirit. It says that Moses was the meekest of all men, and many equate meekness, humbleness, with simply teachability, one who is teachable. As we know, different brothers and sisters, you see, ones that are very proud are not very teachable. Ones that are teachable goes along with them. You'll see a spirit of humility and a desire to learn of the Lord. And would we have that prayer of Moses? Would it be a daily prayer for us that we would, Lord, as I wake today, I want this day to count for You. I don't want to live for myself. And that we could return to this place of simplicity and purity of devotion to Him. We've gotten away. We've made, at times, Christianity so complex. We feel like in order to be prepared for His return, we've got to have some great biblical knowledge, extra special revelation. And don't anybody take anything wrong. I mean, I think we should have biblical knowledge. And we need to know the Word. And we need to be in it. But it's that allowing that Word to come within us and then in a living way allowing it to be real in our hearts and lives. That's making each day count for Him. and being available so that He could form us to His image. And whatever He puts in our hands, we would be faithful with that. Let's not, if the Lord puts something in our hands, let's be faithful with that. Let's not grumble, why did you put this in my hands? I'd rather have that. No, He put this there for a special reason, because He wants us to learn of Him. And would we be faithful with that? It's a beautiful picture, as we shared, this started this morning about the Lamb of God. There's a beautiful picture in Revelation 14. Is there there on Mount Zion? They're all there before the throne of God, worshiping Him. Who are the ones that are there? It says those are the ones who simply followed the Lamb wherever He went. That was their testimony. It wasn't of their knowledge, this or that, all their great spectacular testimonies. No, their simplicity of life. They followed the Lamb wherever He went, and it led them to the throne. And that's where we want to be ending up. And so as the Holy Spirit searches our heart, may He set us free from the complications of this life, return back to this place of simplicity and where repentance is needed. That's always the first place. We would be those repenting. On Wednesday evening, recently, this particular one, there was a verse out of Habakkuk, revive thy work in the midst of years. What does the word revive mean? You know, if you look at, I studied Latin for 4 years, and revive comes from a Latin word. The first part of it means to back. The second part is life. Back to life. Return to life. The EMS people go out, they resuscitate somebody. Oh, they revived them. They're back to life. What are we talking about when we say revive thy work in the midst of years? We're talking about reviving His life within each one of us and reviving His life within us as an assembly and reviving His life among the people of God, that there would be that testimony in this late hour, and that much of this reviving, how does it go about? There's a simplicity to it of daily giving ourselves to Him, of daily walking with Him, of daily just allowing Him to lead us into all that He would have for us that day. And in that, those are the ones that are prepared for His return, and those are the ones that hasten His return. So this, as I said, this was a very simple word, but I pray that the simplicity not be lost upon our complicated minds, but we would really allow the Holy Spirit to be speaking to us and redeem the time that we have and truly make each day count for Him. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful so much that we are the redeemed of the Lord, and we shall say so. And Lord, we're thankful how You have redeemed us out of the pit of hell. You've taken us out of a kingdom of darkness, and You've brought us into the kingdom of Your beloved Son. But Lord, in that great transaction, that's simply a new beginning. And Lord, as we have this new beginning in You, we have a desire to really be yielding unto You day by day. Lord, show each one of us the significance of each day. Convict our hearts of it, Lord. And Lord, show us Your desire that we live each day for You. Lord, You showed one who knew You so well, Moses at an old age, who had seen You in many mighty ways, still wanted to be taught and learn of You. Lord, we're nowhere near that. But we pray, Lord, You would be teaching us. We want to be available to You in this hour. We do want to be those that are found being made ready. And we're thankful for the simplicity, Lord, of how You make us ready and how You prepare us, that we could be those that are used to hasten Your return. In Thy name we pray. Amen.